DEI, or diversity, equality, and inclusion, accommodates everyone, but it may overlook the advancement of a productive program. And who would prefer to work at a company that may accommodate everyone else and not concern if it gains profit or not? In this world, we can never satisfy anybody. Everybody in this world, people complain against unfair treatment. Unfair, unfair, unfair. Even at home, there's you will hear children saying, unfair, unfair. Yes, in this world, everybody can never escape painful experiences. Everyone has struggle. Everyone has struggle with health. I struggle with my old age. I struggle with many things. We struggle with finances. Students struggle with studies. Others struggle with relationship. There are a lot of struggles that we face in this world. I hope we intellectually understand and accept that in this limited world, contentment is temporary. There's no long-lasting contentment in this world. Why? It's because true and everlasting contentment is forever reserved only in eternal heaven. We cannot find it here in this world. Together, let's meditatively reflect what it says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, or for the old order of things has passed away. So that we won't endure pain or failure anymore. We want to be in heaven now. Why does God not take us in heaven now? So that we won't experience pain. Well, the wonderful plan of God for humanity cannot be easily conceptualized. We can never understand that fully. Maybe partly we can understand that. Our limited human brain cannot conceptualize why God allows us to be here still. Why he allows struggles for us to go through every day. But this is also a practice of faith in him. We practice faith so that when we practice faith, we grow stronger in our faith in him, that we trust the plan of God is for our betterment. Everything that he allows us to experience is for our betterment. But we still complain. No matter how difficult, dramatically difficult for us, the struggles, and we complain, pray that you would intellectually understand and accept in your heart that God allows those things for our benefit. There was this video published online. It shows a kitten walking next to a fish pond. The kitten was so amused of the school of fish swimming in the fish pond. And the kitten is fixed on the fish as it walks along the bank of the fish pond. And as the school of fish swim, the amazed kitten followed them, curiously following them, unaware of possible danger of wrong step. The kitten fell into the water. Kitten was confused, tried to swim, but in a split second, I was trying to count 1001 if there's 1 second or 2 seconds. In a split second, its mother cat quickly came to its rescue and carried the kitten away from the fish pond. I don't know if the person taking the video was aware that the mother kitten was also behind somewhere watching the kitten walking next to the fish pond. But once the kitten was had fallen into the water, the mother cat quickly grabbed its kitten and carried it away from the fish pond. The mother kitten was watching, but it did not prevent its kitten from amusement at the fish pond. It did not say to the kitten, "Don't go next to the fish pond, you will fall down." It was watching its kitten. Likewise, well, in the video, it did not show the mother cat. I don't know, because it was hidden. Likewise, there are fascinating things in this world that attracts curiosity. We are curious going somewhere else. We want to visit the beautiful places of Canada. For me, I would like to visit somewhere in the north, Nunavut, maybe one day, I don't know, and catch fish there in winter. It's my curiosity. But not everyone is mindful of dangers, even fishing in winter. There are many people who are not mindful of dangers, that they may possibly fall into the icy water at any wrong step. But the Lord allows us to be amused at His creation. He allows us to commit wrong steps. He did not always allow us to know that is wrong, that is right, that is wrong, you should do this, you should do that. No. He has given all the commandments we need to follow in the scripture. When we make wrong step, then what happens? When we cry for help, the Lord is quick to rescue us. Can you say amen to that? When we pray, the Lord will rescue us from our struggles. The Lord designed everything on earth and in heaven for us to be eternally thankful and praise Him forever. But we will be more grateful, thankful to the Lord when Christ returns and takes us to eternally for safety in heaven. Now let's reflect on Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 to 11. Day and night they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." For verse 10, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crown before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things by Your will. They were created and have their being." Now, think about that. Saying holy, 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 day and night. Won't they be tired saying? Personally, what makes you say, "Wow," something that you would appreciate and would love to see all the days of your life, or would love to experience all the days of your lives? What is it? Like, for example, you have idolized or something, a movie actor or actress. I should not use that, but Well, that is the nearest term that an actor or actress or celebrity that you appreciate. And when you see that actor or actress, you say, wow, he's handsome, he's beautiful. And like, I was young back then, and they say there were actors who will be coming to the town plaza, and we went at night, and there are a lot of people. When I saw the actor, oh, he's handsome in personal, more handsome than in the movie. I appreciated it. I like it. So something like that. You say you appreciate it. It's something you appreciate. A beautiful scenery, for example. You cannot help but, oh, if possible, I would like to build my house here and sit down here and look at the sunset, the sunrise every day of my life. Kind of like, if in this limited world we experience that kind of appreciation, can you imagine how glorious, how magnificent, how wonderful the splendor of God in heaven? If there is temporary excitement that we can experience in this world, remember, it says heaven is eternal, meaning there is eternal excitement that we will experience. The heavenly image is so glorious and causes endless delight for believers inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that we are not tired. We will not be tired saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We want to praise God. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us here. We thank you, Lord, for giving us eternal life. That is how we should interpret this passage. Without faith, saying holy, holy, night and day would be boring for people who don't have faith in the Lord. Now, if you cannot still imagine how glorious heaven would be, it is because our mind is limited. But by faith, we trust that it is eternally glorious in heaven. Do you wish to personally sense in this world and practically catch such fantastic, glorious moment of experience with the Lord, so that you would love to say, you would say, you would be filled with thankfulness and praise in your heart? And not just on Sundays or on Wednesdays, but all the days of your life, every moment of your lives, you would appreciate. For example, you see little flowers. Look at these very little flowers. Do you find time to take a look at this very little flower? But it is so delicate. How wonderful, how did God create so little? Or how did God so care with so little flower, so little petals or sepals, that he created such? How can you imagine that? How can you appreciate that? Prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, produce praise and gratitude in my heart, and that I will be filled with thankfulness and praise all the days of my life. Ask the Lord to fill you with that. And every day, you would forget there are a lot of struggles. You'll forget the pain on your knees, and you like to go and walk and see the beauty of the surrounding. You will forget the pain caused by failed relationship. Instead, you appreciate how glorious, wonderful, magnificent God's creation we are experiencing in this world. Now, summer offers, many people love Shell Summer because it offers a lot of creative activities that they cannot do in winter. They can go out and have fun and have shower under the sun. You like showering under the sun? I suppose the government of Winnipeg had done a marvelous decision when they chose to put fountains in the parks. Have you seen those fountains in the park? Where children can go and have fun instead of just, I've seen in the south there are the children are jumping under the fountains in the park. Even the older people, they are having fun with those fountains. It's nice, right? Well, builders of amusement parks have experienced amusement probably that they want customers to enjoy. And amusement parks, they can also make profit out of it. And people pay the price just to have unforgettable moments they can publish in their online account. This is why Disney World, Disney things. We love to go, right? You know, you enjoy? Did you enjoy there? Yes? Yeah? It's enjoyable. Children would love it. Because it amuses you just for a moment. But think about that. If you are amused with man-made creation, who created the brain of those creative builders of amusement parks? Who created? Do you believe that it's God who created the minds of those amusement builders? Certainly, God is ultimate and eternally creative creator. Eternally, we will never be bored because the creativity of the Lord is eternal. He himself is delighted that he created amusement. Now, have you experienced something, fathers or mothers? You build something, a playground or playpen, you build it for your young children. And when they play in that playpen, they are so amused, they enjoy it. And you love it. You love watching them, right? Imagine if you parents are amused to the amused children. God, the Creator, is also amused. Because we are amused. amused. We are fascinated. We are amazed, right? And God created eternal amusement in heaven, glorious amusement in heaven. Let's read again verse 8, 9, and 10 from our passage. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. It is for this reason that a woman ought to have authority over her own head because of angels. Because of angels. Leave that for a moment. I will talk about that. But can you believe that God created man and woman because he is also amused how humanity would be amused in his creation? Previously, Apostle Paul instructed that the practical symbol of respect to their heads, as practical symbol of respect to their heads, Christian women in Corinth should cover their head when they pray. Now, the Bible says that the head of the wife is her husband, and to cover their head practically symbolize submission of wives to the authority of their heads, their husbands. God has designed creation in orderly manner. God created everything in order. If God created man first before world, where would man stand? Right? He created it in orderly manner. First come first. Man comes first. Man was created first, and then woman. It is for the sake of man that God created a woman, not otherwise. What does it imply? Does it imply that man is more important than woman? Did God say that woman is less important than man? Listen carefully. Interpretation that is not literally mentioned in the scripture is arguable. We don't dwell in that. Anyway, we can agree that God created humanity in orderly manner. I hope we can agree with that. But we can agree that husband and wife, they get married because they love each other. But husband and wife may quarrel, and that confuse the innocent mind of their children. There was a child. She asked her parents, "Dad, is it natural for husband and wife to quarrel? Is it natural for husband and wife to argue?" "What do you think?" her parents told the innocent child. Quarrel and argument is a painful ingredient of married life. You are hoping to be married soon? Expect that there will be argument. Someone said the secret of their long-lasting marriage is agreement in everything. Did they agree to disagree? Well, we can learn from the painful experience of Abraham and Sarah. Together, let's meditatively reflect what happened in Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 to 4. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "Lord, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed with Sarai, but Sarai said, "So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave, Hagar, gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived." Now, Sarah was formerly called Sarai. Interestingly, the name Sarai means commander, chief, or chieftain, or captain. Sarai commanded Abraham, "Go, sleep with my slave." Maybe she thought, "I need to help God to fulfill his promise to her, for Abraham, my husband, to have a son. I need to help God." Have you had that mindset before? You need to help God? I know a person, and I need to help God. I need to serve God. Well, the decision of Sarai looked so smart to them, but it gave them confusion. Confusion that continued among their descendants until now. But after God changed the name of Sarai into Sarah, she stopped acting as commander to her marriage with Abraham. The name Sarah means princess, which suggests elegance. Sarah was exemplary in submission to her husband after that, after she was named Sarai. Together, let's reflect on what it declares in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. "For this is the way the holy women in the past, of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves, they submitted themselves to their own husband, like Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right. Do not give way to fear. Think about that. That is how they adorn themselves, not with beautiful hair, not with beautiful outfit, not with jewelries, but submission to their husband. That was how they adorned themselves. Wives, have you ever tried calling your husband, my Lord? Who tried it? Who tried to call their husband, my Lord? Here is a challenge to you. When you go home, this is for fun. For fun. Whenever you call your husband, my Lord, try sometimes and see its effect to your husband. It's not because I am a husband that I'm saying this, but try it. Try. You know what? Even if your husband is so confused or something, whatever negative feeling he had, when they hear, my Lord, what can I do for you? Do you need coffee? You want coffee? My Lord, just for a day. Just for a day. The whole day. Try it today, this Sunday. Try it. This is a challenge. And observe how your husband responds. Usually when Maribel is in high spirit, she would call me, my Lord. Here's your coffee. Here's your meal. She was having fun. And I feel good. I feel good. It is better for them to hear it than to see you in your beautiful dress. The feeling is much better. They can experience much better. They can find any beautiful dress somewhere. You can find any beautiful dress somewhere. You can do it. But to hear that word of respect, my Lord, it's something else. And that is how holy women in the past adorned themselves. You want to be called daughters of Sarah? Try what Sarah did to Abraham. It's possible that wives won't do that because they are scared of their husband. They are scared that their husband may abuse their authority over them. But it is also a practice of faith to trust that their husband would act like respectable and honorable husband. It is your trust in God. So pray that your husband may act like one. As practical proof of holy women in the past, put their hope in God, they submitted themselves to their husband. Can you, wives, can you whisper, my Lord, to your husband next to you? Today? Can you do that today? It's hard. Is it hard? Is it hard? Is it hard to be holy? It is hard to be holy because that alone shows you cannot submit to your husband. Because submitting to husband is practice of faith. Sarah exemplified submission to Abraham. She obeyed him and called him Lord. And because of that, what happened to Sarah? She is called the mother of women who submit to their husband. Did you see that? Did you read that? You are her daughters if you do what is right. Do not give way to fear. Which means, Sarah is the daughter of wives who submit respectfully to their husband. Pray about that. Pray and ask the Lord, increase my faith, Lord. This is tough. Mahirap tong pinapagawa ni Pastor. Never mind, Nickel, that translation. Your wife will be coming soon. I will tell her that. She will submit to you. Say, or you might want to let her view this worship service or sermon so that when she comes, she will understand that submission, that here in the Maples Evangelical Church, wives are calling their husband, my Lord. Hopefully. Well, can you accept that God created man first? Yes. And woman next? Yes. Why? It is for harmonious relationship between married couples. That is the purpose of it. For you to have harmonious relationship. Harmonious relationship in marriage bring glory to God, our Creator. When husband and wives have harmony in their relationship, God smiles. Those are my children. I believe she would be saying that. Husbands, pray that God gives you wisdom. Husbands, listen. Pray that God gives you wisdom to love your wives just as Christ loved the church. What did Christ do to the church? He sacrificed even unto his death. Even unto our death, husbands, we love our wives. But it takes wisdom. It takes grace from God to do that so that it would help our wives to not to give way to fear that you would abuse your authority. And wives, pray continually that the Lord bless you with harmonious relationship in your marriage, and pray that you would not give way to fear, and trust that the Lord had great plan for you and your husband, and that the Lord would bless your husband not to abuse their authority as husbands. Husband and wife can agree to have harmonious relationship. You can agree to disagree if sometimes you would come to that point. Submission to one another reflects that husband and wife are codependent with each other. You depend on each other. You cannot be on your own. Let's read again verse 11 of our passage. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not dependent of man, nor man is independent of woman. Many interpreters interpret this as a message that about procreation. Man cannot procreate alone. Woman cannot procreate alone. It needs a man and a woman to come together. They are independent, codependent. They are not independent of each other. They are dependent on each other, codependent on each other for procreation. Now, Apostle Paul, previously in the context, he was talking about husband and wife, submission of wives to husband, and husband as the head of the wife. So let's take this passage not about procreation, but more on husband and wife relationship. So codependent builds harmonious relationship in marriage, in contrast to confusion or discord, disagreement. Husband and wife should agree when making major decision. When you desire to where you want to reside, where you stay, if you want to stay in Winnipeg all your life, or you want to migrate somewhere in the west or in the east or somewhere else, you need to agree. You go for vacation, you agree, or else your wives will be going to the south of border, or you will be going to Nunavut, whatever. But you need to agree where to travel, or even when you join a short-term mission, you need to agree with that. Or if you take full-time ministry, if you apply for full-time ministry, you want to be in full-time ministry, you need to agree with that. Anyway, Apostle Paul passed on, as Christian tradition in Corinth, for wives to cover their head when they pray, a symbol of respect to their husband. So why? Why did he say that it was because of angels that he gave such tradition? Can you go back to verse 10 if you can? I'm sorry for that, that's too far. In verse 10 it says, it's for this reason that woman not to have authority over their head because of the angels. Why angels were a reason that wives should respect their husbands? Does it mean that angels are watching how married couples submit to each other? Why are angels concerned about human relationship? Now, let's interpret what it declares in chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. How can we interpret this? All the angels are spirits who serve God and are sent to help those who will receive salvation. Or, say, Christians. All angels are spirits of God who serve and are sent to help Christians, believers, those who will receive salvation. Angels, they deliver God's blessing to Christians at the right moment. Not late, not early, at the right moment. Most often we pray for blessing. Lord, I want it now. We want it immediately, right? Because we think we need it already, right? Angels release blessing from the Lord according to the design of the Lord, according to his design on the, of the situation, not according to what we think as appropriate moment of need. I think I need now. No, not yet. I need now, Lord. No, not yet. Most often we hope God prevents calamities, problem, difficulties. Yet God allows calamities, struggles, challenges. God let the prophet Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. If God prevented it, the testimony of Daniel may have been different in the narrative, right? It could not, if God said, if God had taken Daniel, just lift him out of the sight of those accusers and let him disappear somewhere, it would have been a different story. But God, no. God did not. God did allow that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. And this is the testimony of David. Can you imagine? King Darius was like Daniel so much, but there are those politicians who did not like Daniel. And they scheme how Daniel would be thrown into the lion's den. And King Darius signed it, that decree. And because he signed the decree, it was as if King Darius who threw Daniel into the lion's den. So that day, that night, King Darius was not able to sleep. He was thinking, oh, my friend Darius, he would have been devoured by the lions. He might have been thinking. He was so anxious. He did not even have fun time that night. Those kings normally had, instead of watching movie, there are those entertainers. But he forgot those things. He did not eat, he did not drink, because he was so anxious about Daniel. Early in the morning, he went to the lion's den and called on to the lion's den. Daniel, Daniel. Did your God save you? What did Daniel testify in Daniel 6:20-23? Let's read. My God sent his angels and he shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. King Darius was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he trusted in God, his God. Well, I don't know if that would happen again, but I believe this is exclusively the testimony of Daniel. But God created situations, allows situations to happen for his glory. God is glorified because he sent his angels, and Daniel was able to testify before his hearers, the king and the politicians, those who were listening when he testified that God sent his angels. Listen carefully. God created everything for his glory. Can you believe that? God created woman for the sake of man, not otherwise. Can you believe that? It is godly design for harmonious relationship. That is God's design for husband and wife to have harmonious relationship. When wives willingly respect their husband, that is your practice of faith. It's not because you are scared of your husband. It is because you love God. It is because you say, this is my faith in the Lord. I want to show my faith in the Lord. That is for yourself as confirmation that you are not scared that your husbands would abuse their authority. If husband behave in a worthy manner and their wives respect them, they build harmonious relationship. It is also respect and honor to God. You want to respect and honor God, husband and wife. Pray that respect and honor grow among you. It's not easy. That's why husband and wife is not husband and wife only for a day. Why is it for a long, long time? Because respect is not instant. It needs to grow, grow, and grow. It does not retire, actually. And what else? What happened? When we show respect and honor to God, angels release blessings accordingly. That is why Apostle Paul said that angels are watching. Apostle, for the sake of the angels who are watching, thus husband and wife would have harmonious relationship. Husbands, pray that the Holy Spirit inspire you to exemplify behavior and attitude worthy of respect. Pastor said, you submit to me. No, don't say that. Instead, Lord, I sense that my wife has very little respect of me. I pray, oh Lord, help me behave, have that attitude worthy of respect. If you husband sense that your wife has less respect to you, the Lord is reminding you that you need to pray, to behave, and have attitude worthy of respect. Do not complain that your wives cannot respect you. And wives, pray for stronger faith. Lord, strengthen my faith that His design of order brings harmony in your relationship. And parents, everyone, guardians, prayerfully ask God to inspire your family. Come together and gather together for prayer. That is my dream in this church, and everyone who's listening, even online, that its family would come together, have time for prayer regularly. If that regularly would be Christmas and holidays, well, that's regular, but at least more frequently. Weekly, every Sunday, well, that could be. But more frequently, at least every day, right? Pray about that. Pray. It's not easy, I tell you, I have been there. It's not easy to gather your children now, especially with the high technology, high tech gadgets. It's not easy. Pray that the Lord would give, move in the heart, in mind of your member of family, and gather in prayer, and read the scripture. If you cannot start from Genesis or read through the Bible, then just pick your favorite verses. Share your favorite verses. And after that, when you are regularly meeting together, then start reading regularly through and through the Bible. Let's read again verse 12 of our passage. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. But everything comes from God. Who is more important before God, husband or wife? It is not smart to ask who is more important before God. That's not a smart question. First, God created man, next a woman, and after that, mankind is born of woman. God intellectually arranged his creation in orderly design. Why did God not just let the man, since he is the first bear children, born children, become pregnant and conceived? Why? He has his design. We may not understand everything, but God intellectually creates and designs everything. He created woman for man, and after the first couple, God designs that all mankind be born of woman, not man. Have you ever pondered? Have you ever think about that? Why is it? But of course, there are confused people who would like men to be pregnant, right? But anyway, it narrated in Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 to 24. Genesis chapter 2. The Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. He brought her to the man. The man said, This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why man leaves his father and mother and united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Think about that. Why is it that God made a woman out of the rib of a man? Why is not just one hair? He could have taken one hair and made a woman out of the hair, right? Why the rib? Or why not from one finger? So that, I don't know. Why the rib? Have you ever been tickled from your ribs? It's easy to tickle anyone from ribs, right? It means the woman can tickle the man. I don't know, that's my personal interpretation. Anyway. Someone asked, do parents have the right to decide about who their child should marry? What do you think? the parents have the right to decide about who their child, their son, their daughter should marry. What do you think? If children value their community, they should value cultural practices. Sometimes cultural practices can be trivial, but it has been observed that belonging to a community is beneficial to social health. People who are alone in somewhere in the basement of their parents, normally they have problem, they have confusion. But those who are socially involved, they are more active, they have better health accordingly. So think about that. So coming to church is actually beautiful because we have community among us, right? Now, in some Eastern cultures, parents arrange the marriage of their children. It happened biblically. Abraham sent his master servant, "Go find a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant brought Rebecca to Isaac, and Isaac and Rebecca got married. Rachel and Leah, their father named Laban. Laban, the father of Leah and Rachel, he also arranged a scheme, their marriage with Jacob. Although Jacob chose Rachel, but Laban included Leah to be Jacob's wife. And Pharaoh, king of Egypt, gave wife to Joseph. Joseph was prime minister. He was appointed prime minister, but Pharaoh gave him wife, Joseph. Others, they chose their wife. King David chose his wife. About who should choose your spouse is not literally straightforward in the scripture. Whether a husband personally choose their wives or not, whether a husband would ask their parents, "Who should I marry?" Or do you strongly that God allows everything for a reason? He allows everything for a reason. We may not agree anytime because we cannot just grasp it, but he has reason for everything that he allows. Reflect on what it declares in Romans chapter 8, 27 to 28. "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with their will, with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." God works for the good of those who love him. If you are undecided, if you marry or not marry, if you are not sure if you stay unmarried or not, if wives are not comfortable saying to their husband, "My Lord," or submitting to the authority of their husbands, if husband needs wisdom to behave according to orderly design of God for married couples, we need to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We pray, "Lord, guide me, help me how I would decide." We prayerfully ask for increase of faith, inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so that whenever we take that practical step of in our decision, we would sense that joyful peace as confirmation that we personally practice faith in God, that God allows our decision for our own benefit. Now, women or wives, just a reminder again, try this at home or try this privately. When you address your husband, say, "My Lord," just for today, all right? Just for fun. Just imagine it, "My Lord." If you are to submit to your husband willingly, you are called daughters of Sarah. The Bible says so. It's not me who said that. I'm just saying it aloud. As we love the Lord, we want also to know His purpose as we grow in our faith. Together, let's reflect on what Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation. The spirit of revelation is the one who would reveal to us the will of God. The spirit of wisdom is the one who would help us understand the will of God. The spirit of wisdom and the spirit of the revelation is the spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. The more we submit to the Lord Jesus, the more we practice wisdom, we access of His wisdom, the more we understand His revelation. We pray stronger for our faith in God, for us to obey diligently. We pray that we always rely upon the Holy Spirit, and that we grow spiritually mature. We also grow in our confidence that everything comes from God. Every situation that He allows is for His good purpose and for our betterment. We prayerfully ask God to inspire us to diligently, prayerful, faithfully obedient to Him always, as we patiently for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ to take us into heaven. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Let's pray.